Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and now television network. As always, when I state things as facts on my shows, in some cases, what I state as fact has been verified, is absolutely true and correct. Other times, I state things as fact, such as that the deep state, the political left, stole the 2020 election, substantially stole the 2022 election. Yes, it has not been 100% verified, but there's enormous amounts of evidence which has been swept under the carpet. The opposition which did this, there was massive cheating, very well organized and controlled. They've gotten away with it. Why would they not do it again in 2024? They are gearing up to do this, my friends. And this is why I'm losing a lot of sleep. Many Americans are unaware of this, blissfully unaware. They're going about their lives thinking that we actually have free and fair elections. But there's abundant evidence that we do not. I don't understand why our U.S. Supreme Court stood down, all except for two justices, Thomas and Alito. But they stood down with the request of 18 states in 2020, just after the election, to investigate fraud. They asked the Supreme Court to stop the certification of Joe Biden as president until this fraud could be investigated. Four of the so-called conservative justices on the court joined the three radical leftists and refused to hear this, including these four, included the Chief Justice Roberts, a Bush appointee who supposedly is anti-Trump, and also the three Trump-nominated justices. They joined with the radical left justices and refused to hear this plea. Now, they didn't say it didn't have merit. They made no comment on it. But I don't understand for the life of me why they would have done this. There are clear constitutional issues here. And they stood down, thus ensuring this Marxist revolution which has been thrust upon us. And now, in 2024, the deep state, which has gotten away with this, and also substantially gotten away with it in 2022, is gearing up to do it again. I don't put anything past these people, including a lot of speculation recently, and you're going to see some more on that, that the government is controlling the weather and steering, possibly creating or certainly enhancing the power of these hurricanes, Helene and Milton, slamming them into Florida and other parts of the Southeast, which are traditionally Trump country, states which have gone for Trump, to create chaos and prevent Republicans from voting. I wouldn't put anything past these people, but is it 100% established? Some people say it is, but we don't know exactly who's been doing what. You're seeing Kamala Harris during this time laughing as usual and having a beer with the communist propagandist Stephen Colbert. You're seeing Alejandro Mayorkas, head of Homeland Security, shopping for high-end menswear. There's been a lot of criticism that FEMA is slow-walking aid and things. Again, these are things that need to be investigated, need to be looked at. That's our country. We're supposed to be able to do this. But we have the radical left, people like Hillary, the despicable Hillary Clinton, calling for people who disagree with the left's narrative, the establishment's memes, to be prosecuted civilly and criminally. Earlier, she had said, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe she said that we need camps for the Trump supporters. This is the kind of despicable people who are now in charge of our government. I think there are a lot of good people in the government trying to do their job, but the people in charge are getting away with this. If, as Elon Musk said, if this will be the last election if Kamala Harris wins. He was joking about how big a prison sentence he's going to get, but he's not really joking. They hope to consolidate their Marxist revolution their revolution through immigration, as commentator Mark Levitt has said, with these millions of people coming into our country. Many of them are going to be already registered, automatically registered voters, are being given taxpayer-funded benefits in violation of our laws. But that's what this criminal who's been installed in the White House, Joe Biden and Harris, his number two, cheering him on. That's what they have done. They're having our Homeland Security people ignore our laws and bring these people in so they can vote and help to take over the country and consolidate the Marxist revolution. I don't put anything past them. We know they're doing a lot of this stuff. Look at, we can go on and on about things that would happen in 2020, but just recently, the radical leftist Gavin Newsom, who recently went to communist China, got a personal audience with Xi Jinping. You don't do that unless you're very important to them. Gavin Newsom is a communist Chinese asset. He's a radical leftist. The radical leftist Democrat-controlled legislature in California just passed a law forbidding election officials to check IDs for voting. Now, the rationale for this supposedly is that non-Caucasian people are so stupid that they can't think to bring ID to polling places, and therefore they're being discriminated against if they're asked for ID. Can you imagine this? There's only one reason why they're doing this, and they're one of 14 states now that don't require ID. However, in California's case, they're actually forbidding ID. This is to encourage all of these non-citizens to vote. They're a permanent underclass. They were brought here for that reason, so they would vote for the communists, and we could take over the country. And this is what is going to be done. This is a clear violation, in the case of California, for me, of the 14th Amendment. Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, the so-called Equal Protection Clause. But it does state that states shall make no law that abridges, that is, lessens, diminishes the privileges and the immunities of the citizens. And voting is a right, it's a privilege, and I believe it's also can be considered an immunity, depending how you look at the definition of the word. But yes, this is diluting our privilege, our right to cast our vote and have it be counted and decide who runs our government. So we're in grave danger, folks. We're going to be playing a lot of videos to discuss further some of these issues I'm bringing up, but I don't know. I am very worried. I'm not getting a lot of sleep as we approach this all-important election. Every one of us should be doing everything we can to get out and try to prevent any kind of fraud. People are acting as though we have free and fair elections. Oh, it looks like a Trump landslide. Well, it will be a Trump landslide. It was a Trump landslide in 2020. It was a substantially red wave in 2022, but it was blunted and destroyed by massive cheating and fraud. And we need to get to the bottom of these things. We need to investigate. If I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to apologize. I'm now going to play a series of 10 video clips. We're just going to play them back to back. They're from various sources, and you can take them for what they're worth to you. Among those will be some clips by Alex Jones, one of which is a rather emotional narrative he's making about how he is being targeted for basically media extinction by a group of people he said were paid for. These are the families of the victims of the Sandy Hook massacre some years back, the school massacre. He's been found guilty of, I believe, defamation for $1.5 billion, and they have slated to shut down Infowars.com, his company, and even his name. They plan to own it. What's going on? This is horrific. I'm sure it's being appealed. It's going to take years. This is supposed to happen right after elections, the election day next month. So he seems sometimes hysterical in these things. It's done for effect, but you can listen to what he's saying. A lot of what he's saying is true. He and others are talking about the influence of the Communist Chinese Party, the infiltration into our society, Hollywood, the universities. And then you'll see some other things too, some clips that about Harris and Waltz and so forth. So anyway, here we go.
I would, in fact, make sure that we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard.
They deserve to be heard.
Biden gets rid of the border 3.5 years ago. 20 million people are here. That's the real number, 22 million. They're slaves of the globalists, a new permanent underclass. He tells them immediately, surge the border if he wins. They get here. He says, oh, the border's not broken. He says, oh, it is broken. Pass amnesty. And then yesterday he comes out and says, oh, we can't have it illegal to come here. It's moral, just is totally open.
Can you imagine a kid 2 years old saying, Mom, don't take me across Rio Grande. It's against the law. Give me a break. These have been model citizens.
Imagine telling a kid it's illegal to come across the border, which it is, which he's made legal by fiat, and they're model citizens. They're citizens the minute they get here.
Do you think there are people that are coming over that have the intent to do our neighbors, our friends, our family members harm?
Absolutely. These huge give up groups that we're getting, you know, the media is only reporting what they can report on, right? Which is, statistically speaking, a small percentage of the actual bad guys that we're catching. No one is coming to protect you. Even at the local law enforcement level, we do not control the border. The cartel controls the border. Everything that we do is a reaction to things that they have planned. Usually we're chasing around pawns while the kings and queens are doing whatever they want.
Think about the magnitude of what he just said, the lawlessness of it. They're going to grab your junk. They're going to search your family. They're going to put you through a body scanner at the airport. But the border is wide open. Absolutely insane. They stole the election 3.5 years ago. They're planning to steal it again.
Does the investigation confirm that there are missing ballot images?
Yes.
Yes. Do you know why 380,761 ballot images from Election Day machine count are not available?
Those are for the recount.
Those are from the recount. But we have no ballot images for 380,761 ballots from Election Day, correct?
What was subpoenaed was the ballot images for the recount, because that's what this case was about. Not the election day.
Does Fulton County know why there are not 380,761 ballot images from election day?
According to news sources, a Wisconsin government employee has been fired from her government job for helping to rig the 2020 presidential election in Joe Biden's favor. We have a documented email from one of her coworkers by the name of Ryan Chu. He wrote on November 4th at 4:07 a.m., "Damn, Claire, you have a flair for drama, delivering just the margin needed at 3 a.m. I bet you had those votes counted at midnight and just wanted to keep the world waiting."
There's a large influx. There's even a bigger influx now. In terms of Hispanic voters, or Hispanic citizens who want to become citizens. So it's just enormously important.
Now, if you're interested in learning more about hosting a migrant family, all you got to do is take out your phone, dial 211. It's as easy as that. You're going to be asked a few questions, things along the lines of how long are you able to host somebody? What kind of space are you available to provide?
These are the times that try men and women's souls. But this is the last gasp. All over the world, 83% was the number I saw last week. In regional, local, national elections, from Australia to El Salvador to you name it, Europe, patriots are getting elected. That's why the system is so scared. Deep in the heart of Texas, the U.S. resistance against a global corporate combine empowered and funded by Communist China, allied with the big mega banks that set up Communist China in 1949. The Communist Chinese have taken control of U.S. telecommunications infrastructure. The Communist Chinese have taken control of Hollywood. The Communist Chinese have taken control of the main universities. This is all confirmed. This is not a drill. Big tech in Silicon Valley is almost completely run by the Communist Chinese government. They've officially become state-run. Apple, 100%. Google is now making the transition and announcing a merger and total worldwide censorship. They are now beta testing using me as the straw man, a demonized version of Alex Jones, to do that. This is happening. This is not like the other probes before that were meant to get you used to probes and censorship, thinking you would adapt to censorship by just putting up with it. Now this attack is thousands and thousands and thousands of times the magnitude of all previous attacks. This is a titrated dose, reverse psychological warfare operation using adapt and overcome, subversion, paradigm manipulation. In layman's terms, they are manipulating the fact that we adapt to being oppressed. We adapt to being pressed at the low dosages of oppression. Now, when the megaton hits us of the total takeover, we try to adapt to the poison infusion instead of not knowing it's a lethal dose if we accept the dose. Total Internet of Things integration, global social score, complete command and control system. It is the virtual reality AI weapon system now attacking the United States, with traitors inside the major security agencies blocking Trump's resistance of the program and attempting to stop us from removing the tentacles of the Chi-Com / Big Tech banking combine emergency situation. I have been chosen for destruction because I brought you this information and have been battering, ramming it out as much as I can. They want to double use me, as they always do in any complex system of mathematical deception, where every angle of my good is turned against us. So they take what I've said, being sincere, build me into an insincere person in the straw man. I'm a person that cares about life and children and is against these wars. And so they make me a herder of children. And then they build me into this lie to then set the distraction while they're actually censoring all of you to make a debate about Alex Jones. So even if I didn't sell out to them, they now use me as an archetype to serve them by being the main distraction. I have now been captured by the enemy in the information warfare fulcrum and is being used against you. Only your full understanding of this key will break you free from this paradigm. I have given you the transmission. Now break free.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Hello, America. Welcome to my Wednesday night special, and special indeed it is. I'm just sitting here before we got started, and somebody left this on my desk. This is me on Fox.
Remember when I had hair?
Anyway, this is me on Fox, and the chalkboard that I had every night on the show. Radicals, Islamists, communists, socialists work together against Israel. Check. Work together against capitalism. Check. Work together to overturn stability. Check. Part two. The protests on the street become contagious. They cascade. They finish in the Middle East. They begin to destabilize Europe. And they head on over here for the rest of the world. That was 2011. And that's exactly what is happening right now. Two of the biggest heists in human history are currently underway. And by and large, American politicians are bickering and complaining over bullcrap. The globalist regime is busy right now at work siphoning off the personal wealth of every single American citizen. You and me and everybody. Well, maybe not the elites. And America's land and natural resources could be seized right underneath our noses if we don't wake up right now. Now, much of this progresses further than that, believe it or not, beginning this weekend. I'll show it to you later on in the program. But there is one movement in America that is standing in the way of all of this. And the chances are, if you're watching this right now, you are part of that, which is a blockade. The head of that movement, of course, is Donald Trump. Donald Trump, they cannot allow this movement to continue. It can't be done. They can't allow the symbol of this movement, Donald Trump, to keep talking. And as sure as hell, they cannot allow him to win. They have tried everything. Smear campaigns, special counsels, indictments, raids on his home, even the incitement of violence. It has been this way now nearly a decade.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Chris always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish you were in high school, I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
I said, no, I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
That you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, position. You get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
President Walker, how do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
They go low, we kick.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
Yes.
Well, so Trump released that video yesterday. Words have consequences. Ever since the summer of rage, people have shown a willingness to commit violence, and there has been little to no consequence for the left. And it is no surprise at all where we find ourselves today. This weekend, Donald Trump survived his second assassination attempt. Now, I just wanted to put this into perspective, if we're keeping score. He now has as many assassination attempts as Kamala Harris has had interviews with the media. Crazy, right? But who needs to actually go out and talk to the American public and media when you have a full-blown influence operation working autonomously for you? Details are starting to slowly drip out about the failed assassin. And there's much we don't know, but we do know a couple of things. One, he worked inside of Ukraine and outside. He tried to recruit foreign fighters to fight in Ukraine. As per the New York Times, over 1 year ago, this effort including reaching out to Afghans who had fled the Taliban to places like Pakistan and Iran. Now, hang on just a second. How does some roofer, some rando American, just a regular Joe, get to the point where you can even attempt something like that? I mean, there's a lot of questions, I have about this attempted assassination. But as usual, the media is directing us to all of the usual talking points. Things like, where did he live? What did the neighbor say? What did he do for a living? Did his family and friends notice anything odd about him? What did he post on social media? Who did he vote for? I'm sorry, did we forget exactly how to be intellectually curious about these kinds of things? Did we forget that the quality of questions actually matter? I don't know about you, but I don't really give a flying crap what he said on Facebook right now. I don't even care who he voted for. He voted for the Democrats, by the way. What I'd like to know is how an assassin that was so sure he was going to be successful that he set up a camera to video the attempted murder, knew what the former president's schedule would even be that day. President Trump is in the middle of one of the busiest, most insane and contentious election campaigns in modern history. He is all over the country. But the failed assassin knew that he'd be back at Mar-a-Lago on Sunday and playing golf. Now, I was with the president, President Trump, on Saturday, the day before. I was in a different location halfway across the country. When he left, he said, I'm just going to take the day off tomorrow and go to Mar-a-Lago. Now, up until he personally told me that, I didn't know where he was going. How did the failed assassin know? How did he know that Donald Trump would also suddenly decide spontaneously to head out and play a round of golf? How did he know that Trump would, wouldn't just opt to play the back nine? Somehow he knew that Trump would be at Mar-a-Lago on Sunday. He knew the exact time he would head out for golf, and he knew the location. Wow, he's lucky. Has any successful or failed assassin in the past half century ever set up their attack position based on luck? Did they ever just show up randomly with no prior knowledge that their target would be there? I just post up here for a few days. Who knows? Dude might, wander into the scope at random. Yeah, it's not like deer hunting usually. It doesn't work that way. So I don't care who he voted for, what he said on social media right now. I want to know how he knew where he was at that time and that location. I'd also kind of like to know, how come he didn't go to prison after he was convicted, tried and convicted of having a weapon of mass destruction, which would be a fully automatic rifle? And he had other gun charges, too. Where did he get that gun? Did he have it in Hawaii, and did he put it on a plane? That's really, I mean, I'm just interested. I don't know about you. If you're willing to ask that one simple question, how did he know, then you can ask a few more. What kind of contacts would a private citizen need in order to recruit foreign fighters for the largest ground war in Europe since World War II? That's kind of hard. When I helped evacuate Christians and American citizens from Afghanistan, we had to talk to both the military and the State Department. Did he give him a jingle? How do you recruit Afghans out of Pakistan and Iran? How would you get the visas and the passports? How would you get them equipped with weapons? How did you not just show up on everybody's radar? Was he in contact with the State Department? Did the CIA ever talk to him? The Pentagon? How about NGOs? Were they helping? Did they get funding through ASAID? I mean, I've done shows in the past on USAID. You know, you look at the relationship with the CIA over the past, well, forever. Who was this guy connected to? Who was he dealing with? And did they have any access to the presidential weekly and daily schedule? How about we start there? I mean, we can read about who he voted for and, you know, maybe what he said on social media. Does he like Tyler Perry? Is he a Swiftie? I don't know. There are so many unanswered and unasked questions, and those are two of none of them. What I do know is that Donald Trump stands in the way of a massive global agenda. This election is currently being conducted in the middle of a frightening reality. The media and left-wing politicians are trying to obscure that reality. They're trying to get everybody to just focus on Orange Man bad because it blinds everybody and puts them in their lizard brains. It's unlike anything we have ever faced. It's a psyop. Today's reality is tomorrow's horror show. And the globalist agenda will stop at nothing to make sure we all stay blindfolded and asleep.
8 predictions for the world in 2030. 1. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy. Whatever you want, you'll rent, and it'll be delivered by drone. 2. The U.S. won't be the world's leading superpower. A handful of countries will dominate. 3. You won't die waiting for an organ donor. We won't transplant organs. We'll print new ones instead. 4. You'll eat much less meat. An occasional treat, not a staple. For the good of the environment and our health. 5. 1 billion people will be displaced by climate change. We'll have to do a better job at welcoming and integrating refugees. 6. Polluters will have to pay to emit carbon dioxide. There will be a global price on carbon. This will help make fossil fuels history. 7. You could be preparing to go to Mars. Scientists will have worked out how to keep you healthy in space. The start of a journey to find alien life. 8. Western values will have been tested to the breaking point. Checks and balances that underpin our democracies must not be forgotten.
Before, right at this moment, in my opinion, our country is at the most dangerous level we've ever been. And I hate to say this, but we have a president who went on vacation a week ago, and now he came back and he went on vacation again. And we have people that are fighting all over the place and threatening our country as we speak. I don't think we've ever been closer to World War III than we are right now. It's a terrible thing. Our country is being destroyed by a radical political class that sends our guardsmen and women to defend the borders of distant foreign nations while they surrender our own borders to an invasion right here at home, the likes of which we've never seen before. You missed birthdays and holidays deploying overseas in the global war on terror. Only Kamala Harris is letting terrorists come into our country at record numbers, and letting jihadists pour into our homeland by the thousands and thousands and thousands. We can't do that. And while you've risked your lives to defend our rights and liberties and our borders, our opponents have waged war on those liberties from the White House, attacking free speech, censoring dissidents, and trying to put their political opposition in jail. Never happened before. I'm in this fight to defeat the corrupt political class in Washington that's hurting you very badly, whether we know it or not, and to reclaim America's future as a free and sovereign nation ruled by the American people. When I'm back in the White House, we will expel the warmongers, the profiteers, and take over our government, and we will restore world peace, and it will be again peace through strength.
So Agenda 2030 is so sinister. It may be exactly why the mainstream media and Kamala Harris and even Hillary Clinton lately have been trotting out lies about Project 2025, accusing Donald Trump of supporting what they're falsely portraying to be a scary totalitarian takeover of our lives. Project 2025, by the way, is no such thing. It's a wonky, nerdy, 900-page policy paper that was written by a think tank in an attempt to organize all the bureaucrats and the executive agencies to be more efficient. So scandalous, so tyrannical, right? To organize government workers so they don't waste our money? The horror! I read a lot of the 900-page document to see what all the fuss was about, and it's super boring. I talked with the Project 2025 folks. Also boring. You probably saw that meme that was going around a couple of weeks ago on social media claiming Project 2025 was going to do everything from ban divorce to who even knows what else. None of what's on that meme is true. Just outright lies. You don't have to take my word for it. You can do a control F on the Project 2025 document. Look it up. See what you find. You'll see for yourself. The left, of course, hopes that you won't do that. But all of that is actually a moot point because Donald Trump has never embraced Project 2025. Trump says, I don't know what it is, and I don't know, want to know what it is. The Project 2025 narrative from the left was always intended to be a distraction from the reality of Agenda 2030. The official title of Agenda 2030 is Transforming Our World, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. First of all, anytime the left says transforming our world is a red flag. But the title here is of particular importance because remember James Lindsay was among the first to identify sustainability as being a code word for policies that promote a hidden ESG agenda. That's environmental, social, and governance guidelines. Now, ESG hides DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion requirements. Not diversity and equity and inclusion the way that you or I might define it, but diversity meaning tokenism or racial discrimination. Equity meaning not equal opportunity, but equal outcome, which is just socialism that has to be dictated by someone. And inclusion does not mean tolerance. Inclusion is essentially religious persecution. You will include the trans agenda, which means you will adhere to it. The result of ESG, whether it's applied to our financial systems, woke corporations, our schools, the result of it is communism. Now, terms like sustainability have been used by the World Economic Forum, for example, about the Great Reset. They're deceptive euphemisms. And I think a lot of us understand that, intended to camouflage the dark reality of totalitarianism. And the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development is no exception to this rule. The ultimate goal of globalists, like those who run the UN, is consolidated power. It's not enough for them to have a loving family and friends and community, to have their name on the office door, to be the boss even, to run the company, to own a nice piece of real estate, or even to serve as the Secretary General of the United Nations. No, no. They want everything. They want to control you. From the moment you wake up and do your required morning land acknowledgement, eat your breakfast of lab-grown meat, hitchhike to your job on the urban collective since you're now prohibited from owning property and suburbs no longer exist, drop off the one child you've been permitted to have, as long as you never speak to her about religion, to the universal daycare program you're required to send her, until you go to bed at dark since fossil fuels are banned so there's no electricity and you can't see after sunset, and you're sick anyway because there aren't medications to save your life since petrochemicals have been banned too, and you can't eat nourishing food to keep your body healthy because Bill Gates' disgusting genetically manipulated soy burger tastes like poison. I wish I was making any of that up. The goal of the Pact for the Future is to remake the United Nations, taking it from the UN to the UN 2.0, with the ultimate goal of executing Agenda 2030's ideological agenda. UN 2.0 is what they want. Bigger, more powerful, in control of everything. And I mean everything. We're going to get back to that point in just a moment. This is how the Pact for the Future works. There are 11 total policy proposals within the Pact for the Future, combined with the especially significant UN Global Digital Compact and the Emergency Platform. The former was also adopted this week in New York. The latter was kicked down the road a little bit, but the latter is of particular importance. The so-called Emergency Platform grants sweeping powers to the Secretary General of the United Nations in the event of a complex global shock. What is a complex global shock? Well, the UN defines complex global shocks as events that, quote, have severely disruptive and adverse consequences for a significant proportion of countries in the global population. Such events would then necessitate a, quote, multi-dimensional, multi-stakeholder, and whole-of-government, whole-of-society response. Literally every single phrase is a red flag. The UN, of course, would play a central role here. In the event of a complex global shock, a, quote, coordinated and multi-dimensional international response will be necessary and would be, quote, the central role of the United Nations 2.0. So basically, the UN makes up the definition of what an emergency is. And then under the vague guise of one of these emergencies, they give themselves power, so-called global governing power. Their words, not mine.
So is globalism one of the goals for the UN?
Absolutely. It's a threat to the absolute power of the United States.
One of the defining features of this MAGA movement is the ultranationalism. And one of the main enemies are what they call the globalists and the definition of a globalist.
One of the objectives of the UN is to create an identity of a global citizen.
They create this institution which is the closest we've ever got to kind of like a world government.
You know, the United Nations does not have its own army.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure the United Nations as an institution is going to survive a second term by Donald Trump. The United States government funds 27% of the UN budget.
Is that more than anyone else?
By a long stretch.
A United Nations without the action of the United States backing it up, it's not going to be effective.
The purpose of Donald Trump is to end the international institutions that somehow level the playing field. It's a movement that is deeply nationalistic. It's America first, America, make America great again, America, America, America. He wants America first.
No, just the UN I remember.
We are terrified. We're terrified.
So the internal vibe of the UN is like no one wants Trump?
Absolutely nobody wants
something. So is the UN just like useless now?
I would say for 95% of issues related to international peace and security, yes.
The Charlie Kirk Show starts now.
What an incredible contrast we have now on the Democratic ticket with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz on it at the same time. We have somebody in Kamala Harris who embodies the dynamism, the innovation of big cities, particularly in the coasts of this country. And then in Tim Walz, we have somebody who sort of embodies the proud, the resilient, the hardworking, patriotic middle of the country. And I do think that we can easily imagine Tim Walz very much embracing and leaning into that contrast.
No, we have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. And you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke.
Yeah. It's done.
Packed room at the St. Paul Armory erupted after the governor's signature made driver's license for all law of the land.
But we can get out there, reach out, make the case. And for one thing, don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness. And I think seeing a plan that's out there, talking about it with folks, knowing that he's not going to do anything. And we talked about this wall. I always say, let me know how high it is. If it's 25 feet, then I'll invest in the 30-foot ladder factory. That's not how you stop this.
A society that does not put equity and inclusion at the center of it is certainly going to eventually come to the places where we're at. This is a moment of inflection. It's a moment of real change. It's a moment that those folks who are out there demanding this are not going to take a commission or a report. They're going to want fundamental change. And that is what I think, that's one of the exciting things in the midst of all this. You can feel a sense of optimism coming back.
You know, you see those maps, red and blue, and there's all that red across there, and Democrats go into depression over it. It's mostly rocks and cows that are in that red area.
Would you have done the schools any differently? Because I think that's where a lot of parents are upset about what happened with the schools.
Well,
do you think you could have made any other choice?
Well, I think just to be clear, over 80% of our students miss less than 10 days of in-class learning. The vast majority of students were in. It depended, again, on population density. Many of these decisions were being made by local folks to be able to do what was necessary to keep them there.
Should Minnesota be a sanctuary state?
If the definition of that is that the federal government enforces immigration law and local law enforcement enforces local law, then yes.
Should cities be allowed to be sanctuary cities?
Yes, local control.
He used to be what I call a middle of the road Democrat. Now he's a straight up socialist.
Okay, everybody, happy Tuesday. The tickets are finalized. It is Harris Walls. Boy, that sounds like a really sketchy law firm, I gotta tell you. We now finally know who we are running up against, and there is so much here to unpack. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Kamala Harris had a decision to make. Was she going to make a selection based on who is going to help her electorally or who is the most loyal to Kamala Harris? Kamala Harris is a very insecure person. And so she's worried that she's going to be knifed in the back, maybe because she just knifed Joe in the back. It's interesting. Paranoia breeds paranoia. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Become a member. That is members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. And subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. This is going to be the most comprehensive takedown of Governor Walz that you will see. Piece by piece, issue by issue, policy by policy. We are going to show you exactly what he believes, what he has done. This is the most liberal ticket in American history. You have a California communist and a Minnesota Marxist that have combined forces to try to deliver a death blow to the United States of America.
Kamala Harris may not have much foreign policy experience, but her new running mate, Tim Walz, is very, and I mean very well-traveled. He's been to China more than 30 times. And doesn't think they're our biggest rival.
I lived in China, and as I said, I've been there about 30 times. But if someone tells you and they're an expert on China, they're probably not telling you the truth because it's a complex country. But it's critically important for us. I don't fall into the category that China necessarily needs to be an adversarial relationship. I totally disagree.
Walz first went to China in 1989 to teach English and fell in love with the country, telling a local paper, no matter how long I live, I will never be treated that well again. They gave me more gifts than I could bring home. Sounds like Newsom. Remember when he was going around admiring the cranes? In fact, he loved China so much that he and his wife got married on the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre. And then honeymooned there in the 90s. He later set up a program to take high school kids to China every summer for nearly a decade. And according to local reporting at the time, the Chinese government paid for it. And while they were abroad, Walz told his students to downplay their Americanness. If he becomes vice president, what does that mean for America?
I know the importance of safety and security
especially at our border.
Who really is Kamala Harris? She's been telling us her entire career.
I support our sanctuary law.
The illegal immigrant deported multiple times who stands accused of killing Kate Steinle.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
Everyone also have the courage to reject that term illegal alien.
Are you aware that there's a perception?
Do you know?
Are you aware that there's a
that
perception?
That puts ICE in the same category as the KKK. Is that what you're asking me?
Abolish ICE.
Yeah. Is that a position that you agree with?
And we need to probably think about starting from scratch.
We're not going to treat people who are undocumented across the border as criminals.
I am opposed to any policy that would deny any human being public health, period.
Will you be committing to close immigration detention centers?
Absolutely, on day one.
How come she hasn't applied consequences the last 3.5 years? 10 million illegal encounters, 2 million gotaways, 600% increase in sex trafficking, more terrorists coming across the border, a record number of people off the terrorist watch list, and over 250,000 Americans dead from fentanyl that comes across the border. Consequences, there won't be consequences for her failure.
We have a secure border. The border is secure.
Sickening new details about the murder of Georgia nursing student Laken Riley. The 22-year-old was beaten to death with a mystery object.
We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't...
Kamala Harris, do you trust her to stop the invasion?
My friends, I cannot overemphasize the danger that we face as a nation and we as individuals face in terms of our individual freedoms, the liberties we have so long taken for granted with this next election coming up next month, in just a few weeks now. I implore you all to do everything you can to make sure, one, that you vote, and two, that your vote is counted, and that every legal vote is counted, and that we've, if nothing else, at least expose any fraud that we come across in our local jurisdictions, and do everything you can to support the candidates who are fighting for freedom. Well, that's all for another show. As always, we hope you found our content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of our show when it's posted here shortly on the Jim Benson Show pages here at bbsradio.com. And we're also going to post it on elsewhere on the internet, including YouTube, rumble.com, and Apple Podcasts. Look for us again with another show 2 weeks from today. It'll be our last show before the election on November 5. Have a good rest of your day and evening.